Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving, by the Holy Spirit. I love Him. He loves us so much. He loves all people so much. That's what I want people to know. That's what I want my enemies to know. That's what I want my accusers to know, that I love you and Jesus loves you too. He died to get us all out of the trouble we're in. Now, in this world, there's trouble, tribulation, and problems. If you get saved, there's an enemy out there that's trying to undermine you everywhere you go, everything you do. Satan is, he deceived people to think wrong, to give you trouble. But you don't have to fall for his lies and his witchcraft. Satan is just an old crazy witch. So you don't have to allow him to slow you down. In order to do that, James put it this way. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, how do you resist the devil? You resist him just like, all right, a brick wall will resist a bicycle. All right. Who's going to win? A man on a bicycle pedaling fast or the cemented brick wall? The brick wall is going to resist the bicycle. It may not be able to resist a tank. But see, it's just like Jesus is all powerful. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he said, I give unto you power. In Mark chapter 16, I've given unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by no means hurt you. Well, that was Luke 10 too. But he gave us power. So he gave us authority over our enemy, Satan, because we need it. And like I said in last week's broadcast, he gave us weapons. Christian people need to learn to use their weapons. They got them, they just don't, there haven't been enough teaching about it. When you can tell Satan to stop his activity. If you live in a place where they shoot and have gunfights, every time you hear escalating voices, tell Satan he can't kill them and he can't hurt them in Jesus' name. But first, you got to be aligned with Jesus. You got to submit your life to him. Now, to those who believed on Jesus Christ, you're the only people on earth that can do this. If you know that Jesus died for you and his blood washed your sins away, you share authority with all of God's people. You've got the same authority that Jesus has. So you look out your window and you see the young men out there about to fight over drugs or women or whatever they're shooting over. Tell Satan he can't kill anybody, he can't hurt anybody. First, you got to get the word in your heart. But you have the authority to do this. If a child get kidnapped, I'm serious. If a child get kidnapped, you can pray for that child. You can tell Satan he cannot kill that child. I've done this before. Now, if a person get kidnapped, you can do the same thing. And Satan can't, he can't go beyond your word. More people need to be teaching these things. Some preachers actually do. You do have to learn God's ways first. You have to learn about, read the scriptures where Jesus gave his people authority. Luke chapter 10, the 70 returned. Even the devils are subject to us. Jesus said he rejoiced because God showed him the people that were innocently babes before him. Jesus said many prophets and kings desired to see the things you see and they hadn't seen them. But he said in all this, rejoice. Don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Always live submitted to God. A person that's not submitted to God, they forfeited their authority. If you're a preacher and you're committing adultery, or if you're lusting, watching pornography, and you didn't repent from it, and you're not subject to the things of God anymore, You forfeited your authority. You need to get right with God so you can be effective. That goes for everybody. That goes for Christians. The pastor's wives. You know, the pastor's wife and the children. Anybody that's a child of God. If you're not right with God, you're forfeiting your authority. You got to submit to God first. And then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. All right, we're turning the page on that. Don't forget those things because people's lives, you can make a difference in the lives of others. You know, if I was out there acting crazy and didn't know that I was about to fall off the cliff into the fire hell, I would want somebody to be praying for me. And that's what people need. They need us to stand in the gap. They need us to do warfare on their behalf. I've done this. It works. When I lived in the Woodlawn, Kingston area, there was a gunfight often. For 6 years, nobody never died. Why? Because I took authority over it. Now, this was back in the 90s, from 89 to 96, to be exact. Now, as we go, I moved away in 96, that's why, in August of 96. But anyway, we need to follow God. And we need to be the people of God. Not a version of the people of God, but the church need to be the church. Our lives, we need to be doing what Jesus did. Now, I said in the 2 weeks ago how the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Not fables. People, because they are afraid of what people think, sometimes too many preachers have compromised. Now, I can prove it. When the last time you heard a preacher over the pulpit say that the Lord's be ready because the Lord is returning soon. Be ready so you don't be left. When the last time you heard it? It was in the 80s when I heard teaching that way. Now, I've heard some wonderful men of God on TV doing this. They say you got to be ready. A lot of people stopped doing that because it wasn't popular. I'm not trying to gather a crowd. I want people to really know God. Now, if you compromise, you're not going to know him right. But if you stick to the protocols of Jesus, if you do what Jesus said do, you're going to be fine. And you're going to cause other people to know God. Because the life we live before people is a message all by itself. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. The life you live is fruit. The love you live is fruit. And the wicked can't bear fruit. They can't represent Jesus. They have no light in them. But the real Jesus loves us all. And the enemies of Jesus always tried to trap him. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Pharisees, the enemies of Jesus, and the Sadducees, and the scribes, and sometimes the priests, they tried to trap Jesus. And here's an instance where they tried to trap him, St. John chapter 8. See, Jesus was, he loved God, so they couldn't trap him. He knew what they were up to. Why? Because he paid attention to the Holy Spirit. I want to clear something up. Jesus did the miracles he did not because he was the Son of God. It was because he was always obedient to the Father. He lived to do the Father's will. Did you know that he was the Son of God? Just like John said, everything you see, Jesus made it. But when he became a child, he didn't keep the memory of all the wonders that he did. He came just like we do. He had to learn the word just like we do. But he listened to his Father. He was taught in the synagogue. He learned the same way we learn by reading the word. Even though he is the word of God. And then he acted on what the Father taught him. This is very important to understand. So his enemies always went around trying to trap him some kind of way. So they found a lady that committed adultery. Watch this. St. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. Verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such a woman, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What do you say? They tried to make him look bad before the crowd. This they said, tempting him, verse 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have something to accuse him with. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, see, remember, the law was the law. That's what you had to do. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He kept the law. He obeyed the law. They didn't expect this. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This is who God is. The law was given as a deterrent so that the nation could be clean, so God could send a Savior through it. The law is to the lawless, folks. It's a deterrent. Now, a judgment does follow sin. Demise follows sin first. Sin causes evil sowing, and then it causes evil reaping because it's evil sowing. You're doing something wrong, you're going to get something bad because of it. But that's not the judgment of God yet. When the judgment of God falls, you die, you go to hell. You have problems because of sin. It hardens your heart against God, who's trying to rescue you. Jesus was living the heart of God's will towards people. They were so blinded by their fables and their evil religion that they didn't understand who God was yet. And when Jesus came in the nature and kindness of the Father, they couldn't recognize him, even though they studied the Word of God. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. This year's radio broadcast is on audio page 7, newlivingletters.com. Now, Jesus came and represented the Father's will. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, God, he came to redeem. So when people say, well, you're just trying to judge me, the sin you're doing is going to cause your reaping, that you're going to reap hard days because of whatever sin you got yourself that you're doing. That can't be averted. The best thing for you to do is to stop it. You're already judged, and you're being set up to be judged, and God's trying to rescue you. All right, I'm the messenger. I'm saying, wake up. Don't sin no more. It's doing something to you, and you're not going to like the results. Sin don't satisfy you. Sin is not helping your life. It's hindering the people you like. It's false representation to the children you love and everybody who witnessed your life. It's pulling people into the same trap that you fell into because your life looks fun to them. But the sin don't satisfy you. The pornography, the lust, the greed, the strife, the witchcraft, whatever you're into, it can look good from a false perspective. But it's a trap. Then it hardens your heart against God who's trying to rescue you. And then there's no satisfaction in it. That's why I say wake up from it. Knock, seek, and ask. Look to the Lord. Knock on the Lord's door. Lord, help me out. God is trying to help his people. But see, with sin, it's a false logic, a false doctrine. It's fables. It's an enemy. Do you see that the scribes and Pharisees were enemies to Jesus. They were trying to trap him. Why didn't they bring the man too? If they were really trying to keep Israel clean. This stoning is supposed to be a deterrent to cause people to fear God and not sin, to leave sin alone. That's how dangerous it is. Jesus said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone at her. He couldn't tell them not to do it because the word said they were supposed to stone the person caught in adultery. But see, Jesus is here now. Now he can represent what God was after in the first place. Adam, you sin, but I'm going to send the seed of woman. And he's going to crush the devil's head, the serpent's head, and the serpent's going to bruise his heel. And I'm going to redeem you back to myself. Jesus is the seed of woman. He had the authority. He had the authority to tell her to go and sin no more. Because he's more interested in saving her life than judging her for the sin she did. So that means the sin that you did, God is more interested in saving your life than giving you what you truly deserve. That's called mercy. Mercy is when you get something good. You don't get what you really deserve, but you get something good instead. And then there's grace. He's giving you a gift that you can't earn. The lady didn't earn her way into heaven. She received an invitation. Just like we all do. I don't even deserve to preach God's word. But he saved me. He forgot about all my evil sins. And I did a bunch of them. I live, 19, almost 20 years as a sinner. Well, discounting my childhood, I lived my previous life before I was 20, before just 3 weeks away from my 20th birthday, I did some terrible thing. I sinned before the Lord. And I didn't get saved. And I knew better. My parents were pastors. But I could sin in those days and laugh about it. Sneak around and do stuff and laugh about it and be glad about it. But when I met Jesus, I hated them day. I hated what I had done. I wish I had a time machine. I could go back and not do that. I still wish I didn't do what I did. I remember some of the vile things I said, the jokes, the cussing, the profanity. Things that I'm not proud of. I remember it, but God forgot about it. Because he was more interested in saving me than judging me. So, whatever you're into, or whatever you're doing, the sin is doing something against you. It's hard to come out of. if you're in that world, in the world, you can't see the exit door. You have to trust Jesus to get out of it. You have to trust Jesus as your Savior to overcome the world system. A lot of people are deceived, and the enemy groomed them to think. This is how the devil get away with a lot of things. The Lord told me this many years ago, back in the early 90s even. He said, the enemy, he tempts people to fear inwardly what society believes collectively. That's how he get one over on the preachers and everybody else. He causes you to fear on the inside what everybody else thinks collectively. I'm gonna say it again. He gets you to fear inwardly in your heart what others think collectively. Now watch this. A lot of the things that people are afraid, this is how he gets away with stuff in people. Everybody knows it's wrong, but so many people agree with it, they fear the people more than they fear God. That's why they go along to get along. That's why they say nothing when something should be said. That's why they preach soft when they should be shouting bold. That's why preachers don't warn people right. And they act like everybody's not doing right. And they need to be warned before they fall off the cliff. They need somebody to intercede for them, not say, well, it's going to be all right. And when it's not going to be all right, you sin, you die. There are people that went to hell. I still love them, but they done fell off the cliff. They already dead. I don't know personally who went to hell and who went to heaven, but I know statistically a lot of people went to hell that I do know. And I still love them now. I still have good memories of them, but they made false choices. And I also know of, I know of two people that was headed to hell, but they got saved. And the Lord showed it to me. Actually, three. They were doing it. One was a drug dealer. One was did whatever. One drank too much. But they got their life right. I pray for them because that's the power of what we can do. We can stand in the gap. All three of these people, these men, were friends of mine. And I talked to them. I warned them. I showed them a better way. I talked to them. But when they died, when the drug dealer died, I knew it. The Lord told me he died. And the very next week, I saw his face in the obituary. He died on a Wednesday around the time it came to me that he died. The Lord did that because he turned his life around. He stopped selling drugs. He started driving a wrecker. And when he died, I didn't know that he died. I didn't even know he had cancer. I found out later. But when he died, see, the death of the saints are precious to the Lord. When a man turns from his evil, that's precious to God. Now, other people died. I found out years later. I didn't even know they were dead. Another one, I had a dream about. The Lord woke me up, had me praying in the Holy Spirit. I went back to sleep. Then I dreamt my friend that was in the hospital was back at work, playing gags like we used to do, playing jokes on each other. I said, man, you're supposed to be in the hospital. You here at work. And he was happy. I saw joy on his face. I never saw that kind of joy on his face in life. But when he went out the side door, where the break room is, that door faces the street department where I used to work. But I didn't see the street department. I saw people dressed in whatever century they died, that the kind of clothes that they were wearing. I saw people who had on 18th century clothes, 17th century clothes, all the way back to Roman clothes. And they were walking on a narrow file on a road of life. And he joined them and walked out of my sight. And I woke up and I found out the next day that he had died. Another one, the Lord, I said, Lord, when he went in the hospital, I asked the Lord, how am I going to pray? He said, "Don't." I was going to pray for him. He said, I'm going to save him and I'm going to bring him home. So he was saved when he died. See, there is redemption. You have to, you can pray people through. If the Lord wake you up and have you praying in the Holy Spirit, which is praying in tongues, pray until you break through. If you believe in God for people that you love and care about, do authority. Tell Satan he can't trick their mind, their heart. And he can't entice them. Tell him what he can't do. And the Lord will help you do it. But first you got to be submitted to him. If you love God, you can be effective. You don't have to be preaching on TV, radio, or whatever. You don't even have to teach Sunday school. But you can be effective if you will pray people through. Very important. Or you can let people fall in cracks and play games and run with the world. But you're going to hate that you did that if you do that. But if you follow God, you're going to love God and you're going to cause many people to know him. Daniel said, they that love the Lord will be shining like the sun. We need to follow him. We need to follow God. The ways of God. See, when Jesus rescued the lady, and all he did was say, he that is without sin cast the first stone. And they all remember that they did the same thing. Or they thought it. They had evil thoughts. So they walked away. They dropped their rocks and walked away. Jesus did the heart of God's will. But see, that kind of sin was